You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the world of horse racing every weekday. It is Wednesday, February the 24th. There has been much speculation as to whether amateur riders would be allowed to ride at this year's Cheltenham Festival. If you're unfamiliar with the amateur branch of the sport in the UK, and indeed their place at the Cheltenham Festival, there are three races restricted entirely to amateurs. Not only that, amateur riders regularly compete against professionals and have had significant success. Patrick Mullins, Jamie Codd, Derek O'Connor, brilliant Irish amateurs in recent years, and Sam Whaley-Cohen won the Gold Cup not too long ago, and I'll be speaking to him in a moment. And that's because I understand this morning that amateur riders will not be allowed to participate at the Cheltenham Festival. They are not classified as elite athletes, and therefore, in tandem with the government not lifting the restriction on grassroots sport until March the 29th, that thereby extends to the participation of amateur riders in professional horse racing events. The point-to-point authority is responsible for administering the grassroots sport in the United Kingdom. Their chief executive is Peter Wright, who joins me now. Peter, our understanding is that grassroots sport will come back on the 29th of March. Just tell us what that means, first of all, for amateur riders under rules between now and then.
Sadly, I think we have to accept the government position, and therefore there will be no amateur riding under rules until then, unless there is a sudden change of heart by the government, but I don't believe that's likely.
So no amateur riders at the Cheltenham Festival. In terms of the way those marquee races underpin your branch of the sport, do you believe that that's a real concern?
I think it's a disappointment, but needs must in these very difficult situations, and I'm delighted at least that the Fox Hunter will be going ahead and our owners and trainers will still get the opportunity of producing their horses for what actually I think looks like a very good renewal.
It's certainly going to be compelling, and looking further ahead, amateur sport will be able to return on the 29th of March under the current time frame. There is, after that, not very long until Aintree and their big race for amateur riders, the Fox Hunter Chase there. Do you have plans in place to compensate for some of the meetings and opportunities that have been lost?
We are. The problem is, obviously, until we can have paying public, these are fixtures have to be financially viable. Now, I first of all like to say thank you very much to the HBLB, who've done their best to support us in very difficult circumstances. But also, though, it does mean that we need large entries for each fixture to make them viable. But I'm very pleased that a lot of fixtures have stepped up and said they're willing to run in these circumstances. We are looking to see if we can run some fixtures early in late March, i.e. On the Monday, Tuesday. We're still looking at that at the moment. But, we think we have created a programme till the end of the year, which is geographically and date-wise covers the whole country.
So there is a plan to sort of, you could start on the 29th, you could run essentially a point-to-point most days, really, to try and clear the backlog.
We could, but I mean, to be quite honest, we'll stick to the weekends generally. There are some offers of midweek racing, and we're still quite interested in where the government's going. It's not absolutely clear from the 12th of April what will be possible, and we wait to see as more clarity is provided. But we're very comfortable with the fixture list we have available, and it certainly will cut all horses will get the chance to run in cards which will give every horse a chance to have a competitive race, I think.
Just for the avoidance of any doubt, when we say that no amateur riders will be able to ride at the Cheltenham Festival, does that include Irish amateurs? I'm guessing it does.
I would presume. It'd be quite difficult, I think, to sell it otherwise. But of course, time will tell. But no, as far as I'm concerned, it should be. The agreement is it's professional jockeys, so professional jockeys it is.
And have you had any feedback from your membership, either positively or negatively, as regards that?
Well, clearly, there's disappointment. Someone like poor Will Biddick has got a very live contender, has never won the Fox Hunter, and here he is with a horse that would have an opportunity, which, but at least as a trainer, he'll have the opportunity to run him. So, you know, as an example. But I think overall the sport recognises that it's more important that we have the Fox Hunter and our horses get the chance to run in it.
And that obviously we all have a wider responsibility to follow the government's roadmap out of lockdown.
Absolutely. And I'm under no... we follow the guidelines, absolutely. We have a totally inherently safe sport, as you know. We because we're in open fields, there are no ventilation problems, there are no surfaces, and there's no problems of crowding. So we are inherently safe, but we have to follow what the government asks of us, and as I hope everyone else does, so that we can get out of this hellish mess.
And looking further forward, if you look a year from now, granted a reasonable fortune, are you confident that point-to-point racing in the UK and the amateur branch of the sport can remain healthy?
Clearly there are slight concerns, and I think it would be too early to draw any conclusions. COVID has not helped. Of course, equine flu didn't help either. And if you look back, obviously foot and mouth did have its effects. But what I can say is that I'm very cheered by how enthusiastically both the fixtures and the participants have embraced pointing in the last couple of years and the changes we brought in to make it more competitive for all. So I have hopes that we have a solid foundation upon which to build, but time will tell, to be quite honest.
Peter, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Peter Wright there, the chief executive of the Point to Point Authority. And it did strike me, if you're listening to this podcast from anywhere else in the world, from the United States or Australia or France, you might think this was a fairly bizarre concept, us getting stressed about amateur riders not riding at the Cheltenham Festival during a pandemic. But you don't have to go back too far to find the last amateur rider to win the biggest race of them all, the Cheltenham Gold Cup, somebody with an enormously credible record at the festival, Sam Whaley-Cohen, who joins me now. And Sam, I guess you would have been booked for a few more rides at the festival this year.
Yeah, well, it's the highlight, isn't it? So everything, all roads lead to Cheltenham, and it's a shame we can't be there this year for sure.
What was your sort of feeling about that from sort of December, when amateurs were stopped riding in races under rules?
Well, I think two things. I think one is, which is, you know, we obviously don't work and live in isolation. So, you know, while the UK is struggling with outdoor sports, it is difficult to defend true amateur sport going ahead, particularly things like point to pointing. But on the flip side, you know, those amateurs riding as category B amateurs, so able to ride in the top race against professionals, are really amateur, because that's the name that's given to the license, not because of their ability. So feels a little bit like we've fallen foul of semantics to some extent, but I think we all have to be sensitive to what's going on outside racing as well.
Yeah, so you're happy to see the bigger picture, but you feel that, you know, granted a slightly different interpretation of the government's regulation, you might have been able to ride at the festival.
I think amateur as a license is different to what's actually happening underneath that title. So there are majority of people who are riding as amateurs are riding against the professionals regularly, working in yards and making their living that way. So it's not really like amateur football, let's say, where people go and have a kick around in the park. So there clearly is a differentiation between different sports and even different categories within different sports. Putting aside the frustration and disappointment of not being at Cheltenham, I think it is a difficult position for the BHA to be in. And you know, the most important thing of all is to make sure when amateurs, as soon as amateur sport is allowed, they get the amateurs back racing, and that those races that have been set up and restricted to amateurs go back immediately to being restricted to amateurs and get back to where we were pre the pandemic.
And will you be setting yourself a target to get back for Aintree?
Without question. I mean, you know, that's one of my great loves, and it's great to have something to work towards. And I think it would be really positive if the BHA can come out and say, actually, that is what we're working towards. It as amateur sport is opened in line with government restrictions, we will get the amateurs back, and we will reinstate the conditions for races as they were before. And I think that's a really important step to be taken.
Well, joining me to react to that and today's other news is broadcaster Cornelius Lysett. Cornelius, this is something we've touched upon a few times before on this podcast. How do you react to the news there will not be amateur riders at Cheltenham?
Well, the first thing is it's not the biggest shock of all time. I think if you took soundings from amateur riders, certainly in the UK, this is what was generally expected. I was lucky enough to sit in on your programme last Sunday on Racing TV, and Will Biddick, very prominent amateur rider, spoke about the fact that he was anticipating saddling a horse in the Hunters race at the St James's Place Hunters Chase at Cheltenham, but wasn't envisage riding it himself. And I think he said Lorcan Williams would probably ride. So he thought it was going to be a strange thing to give him the leg up. So it's not a big surprise. I think this was generally expected. And I think certainly amongst British amateur riders, there was a sort of philosophical feeling that, well, you know, we do live in extraordinary times. We recognise what the rules are. We think it's a great pity, but we look forward to 2022. And I think that is the general feeling. In Ireland, as far as Irish amateurs are concerned, it has a rather bigger implication, really, doesn't it? Because Patrick Mullins plays such a part in his father's operation, including when riding horses. So there'll be some head scratching over riding arrangements at Mullins HQ, and Jamie Codd, similarly, at Gordon Elliott's. And there'll be other amateur riders, Derek O'Connor and others in Ireland, who'll be having prominent positions at the festival. So that is not going to happen. It's a real pity. But I think most people will understand the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And it sounds too, if March the 29th is the magic date, and it appears it is as terms in terms of grassroots sport, in terms of amateur riders as well, then amateur riders will be in action at the Aintree Festival. Great pity, not a big surprise. I think people understand why. Though there will be those, and I think you've articulated this in the past, who are just slightly thinking, you know, amateur riders, maybe amateur riders in British and Irish racing, but it would be incorrect to use the word amateur in its literal sense, coming from the Latin amoa massa mat, I love. You know, there is much more of a professional streak to amateur riders in 2021. And there will be those who think, you know, has the BHA, have the authorities banged the drum hard enough for amateur riders? Because yeah, I think that, is that fair to say, do you think, Nick, that will prevail in some quarters?
I think there's a couple of issues here. Just speaking to Sam Whaley-Kern, as you heard a few moments ago, he used the word semantics. Whilst he completely understands that point-to-pointing and the real grassroots sport, the way it's administered, can't continue under current government guidelines until March the 29th, and has no problem with that. He feels that Category B amateur riders, those who are licensed to ride against professionals, are administered in exactly the same way, both in terms of their licensing and their regulation, as our professional jockeys, and are competing in an elite sport. So really they've been undone by the semantics of the situation rather than by the reality of it. That said, he also completely understood that really you've got to see the bigger picture, and anything that is likely to undermine racing's position as a professional sport, that is a risk that Gerry Hill and his team simply can't take.
And semantics and regulations sort of go hand in hand, don't they? Inevitably, you know, there was a tier system in the UK not long ago, and you could be dragged into a higher tier because you were close, you were close to a big city, for example, when you actually were in, your numbers were perfectly good. So this is slightly inevitable, but I think Sam Whaley-Cohen, that sounds like a typically sensible view to take. And you know, but hearing from Sam Whaley-Cohen, talking about Patrick Mullins, talking about Jamie Codd or Derek O'Connor or Will Biddick does actually demonstrate, and maybe it's something for racing to think about for the future, that these guys are elite athletes, even though they compete as amateur riders. The point-to-point, interesting to hear Peter Wright talking about the whole point-to-pointing issue, point-to-pointing in both the UK, but particularly in Ireland, is such an important and significant business these days. It's not a case of some enthusiasts probably riding their own horses around a field to have fun. It's come on rather a long way since that. It is a business of developing horses that will end up under rules. Enu Gumen is probably the best known current example, who started in a British point-to-point. So did Santini, who might well be lining up in the Gold Cup. Black Bow is another horse as well. So it is important that point-to-pointing gets the show back on the road. In Ireland, there is no obvious roadmap back to normality just at the moment. But in the UK, we do now know that the plan is for point-to-points to resume at the end of March. And it will be unusual, though not unprecedented, to be having weekday point-to-points. It was actually pointed out to me earlier on that there's a new point-to-point race course close to where Dan Skelton and Ollie Murphy train in Warwickshire at a place called Shelfield Park. And brand new point-to-point course. They've never raced on it. It was flooded last year. They couldn't race. And the date they've got planned is the 20th of March, so before the 29th for this year. But they point out it's the Crewman West Warwickshire point-to-point that used to take place on a Tuesday. So that it's not unprecedented for point-to-points to take place midweek. I think Peter Wright talking about 11 or 12 weeks of action taking us through April, May and into early June, though it's pretty unclear about exactly when crowds will come in. But I know that Nick Pearce, assistant trainer to Dan Skelton, clerk of the course at Shelfield Park, is on the phone even as we speak to the point-to-point authority to say, we're gagging to stage a fixture and it's brand new, it's purpose-built, the turf's lovely, so please can we have a fixture after the 29th of March? Unfortunately, he won't be the only one also trying to get a fixture in the few weeks left of the season.
And just to reiterate, Cornelius, as I said at the very head of the programme, Patrick Mullins, I've just spoken to him. He had no idea, really, that this was going to this was going to happen officially anyway. And as I say, it's still not officially come from the BHA, but we are expecting that announcement very soon. He said he honestly wasn't sure what he was going to do. He could turn pro. If he does, it'll mean 6 months before he can reapply for his amateur licence. So he'd have to sit out 6 months after he'd done what he wanted to professionally in Ireland. Leave him a little bit of a dilemma. He said he'd just have to try and digest it and figure it out. And of course, what he doesn't know is whether he'll be allowed to turn professional, because that may not be allowed in Britain, and they may ask Ireland to reciprocate that.
Because in Britain, it's been specifically said, hasn't it, that's not going to be allowed. And the only guy who has done it was planning to do it anyway, I think. It leaves a dilemma for somebody like Patrick Mullins and for others as well. You know, do they just ultimately have to shrug their shoulders and we'll look at the history books in the years to come? And 2021 was the extraordinary year where it wasn't actually, the amateur riders weren't able to take place. The other thing about amateur riders and National Hunt Racing, and particularly the Cheltenham Festival, is it's how it all started. And I go on about the heritage of this sport. It goes all the way back to amateur riders racing against each other round a field, effectively. And that expression, the fact that the word amateur comes from the Latin for I love, because they did it for the love of the sport. But equally, as Sam Whaley-Cohen pointed out to you, he can see the bigger picture. Other amateur riders can see the bigger picture. Britain, Ireland, the rest of the world is fighting a disease at an extraordinary time, trying to bring it completely under control. And, you know, ultimately, of course, it's a pity for those amateur riders who would have liked to take part at the festival. However, the most important thing is that racing does its bit to help the wider effort to get this virus under control, and so that Cheltenham's and all the other events in years to come can hopefully be run in a degree of normality.
So no amateurs at Cheltenham, but amateurs likely at Aintree, granted that the timeline is followed as we expect. Talking of Aintree, and we discussed this yesterday, little bit of momentum building behind the idea of a Grand National being moved to Monday or perhaps the following Saturday on the basis that betting shops would be open by then and therefore the sport could be gaining somewhere between £1 million and £2 million in levy at a time when it desperately needs that.
Clearly, our colleagues in the media have gone to certain figures to get reaction, and clearly the likes of Nigel Twiston Davis or Evan Williams are not going to say anything negative about something like this. I think the silence of the British Horse Racing Authority and the Jockey Club owner of Aintree is probably telling, well, there are two ways of interpreting it. On the one hand, it's not really getting off the ground. On the other hand, people are doing a lot of chatting about this and they don't want to be interrupted. The idea followed the Prime Minister's announcement the day before yesterday on Monday evening. There were a few thinkers around who were making phone calls and talking to influencers, I think, and racing influencers and saying, you know, how about this? As a big thing for racing, B, a significant boost for the high street as well. At an early stage when English high streets anyway will be opened up. But I think everyone was saying it would have to be handled very, very carefully, and that is clearly the case. The reaction on social media has varied from sounds like a really good idea to don't be ridiculous. You're going to tarnish the image of racing. And there's been as much reaction, I think, to this particular story as I can remember to anything for some time, really, on this particular matter. In terms of whether I think it's going to happen, it might happen, though it's probably more likely that it probably won't. But I think what is reassuring is that nobody is just going banging it straight on the head and throwing up their hands and saying it's just too complicated. No one's saying that. So there is a willingness to at least talk about it, and it would be pointless trying to talk about it post Cheltenham or in that period between Cheltenham and Aintree, because nothing could be sorted out in that period of time. By talking about it now and by the bookmakers and the Betting and Gaming Council really getting the conversation going, at least people can talk about it now, mull it over, see whether it would work, but won't get to the situation where time has run out, because clearly there is enough time to do stuff if it's possible.
And more from Cornelius very shortly, but first of all, let's head for our weekly trip to Hong Kong. And what a weekend in Hong Kong it was, with Golden 60s triumph again. Here we are with Jim.
Hi, Nick. We've just enjoyed an outstanding weekend in international racing. The Saudi Cup meeting in Riyadh, the Blue Diamond Stakes and Oakley played at Caulfield in Melbourne, and a fantastic day's racing at Sha Tin, with Golden 60 making it 13 wins on the trot, taking a thrilling Hong Kong Gold Cup. But on that same Sha Tin card, we saw a number of Derby hopefuls putting in their claims for recognition. They were running this time in the Hong Kong Classic Cup, second leg of the four-year-old Triple Crown. The Classic Cup was a real beauty, a gripping finish with only 3/4 of a length separating the first four home, and only a length and a half between the first six. If it had been a handicap, the handicapper would have been delighted, but it was at level weights. So what a Derby we have in store on March the 21st. Healthy Happy won the race for Frankie Law and Alexis Bedell. Some revenge for the Frenchman who'd been jocked off Torbjorn Diamond, the favourite who finished in fifth. But those with an eye to results in Europe will have noticed Russian Emperor, formerly with Aidan O'Brien, now with Douglas White, who flew home for second. It was his first glimpse of form in Hong Kong, and sent off at 79-1, it was the shortest price he has started in three outings in Hong Kong. Excellent Proposal, the John Size trained winner of the Classic Mile, did well for fourth, travelling wide into the straight, while the most interesting postscript was Joe Moreira's announcement that he'll ride Sky Darcy in the Derby. Sky Darcy, not a proven 1¼ mile horse, got held up in the straight and looked pretty unlucky. But can he stay the Derby trip? An automatic link after saying all that would normally be back to more mundane matters at Happy Valley Wednesday meeting this week. But that is not applicable. There is nothing mundane in having two Class 1 handicaps on the nine-race card, and they both look decent races in prospect. I think Alexei Bledel might be in the limelight again by winning the first of them over 1650 metres on The Rock, on whom he led all the way at Sha Tin last time, showing tremendous enterprise. So it's race 3, number 8, The Rock, and take him in a tote swinger with number 3, Star Shine, who's now back in form. Later, I fancy Grateful Heart to land the Class 1 6 furlong sprint handicap. This fellow is in tremendous form, winning 4 of his last 5, and he'll be hard to beat again, but at short odds. Also look out for race 7, number 10, Courageous Dragon, and race 8, number 7, Capaney, who will be partnered by Joe Moreira, who's now ridden 91 winners, and we're only just past halfway in the season. Surely, the Magic Man is on course to break all records this year. I'll have more about Hong Kong on the podcast next week.
My thanks to Jim and to all my guests today. Cornelius is still with me and has a tip for you for this afternoon.
I'm going to take you to Doncaster. 5:05 at Doncaster, the Virgin Bet Standard Open National Hunt Flat Race. And there's a horse there called Skytastic. Now, on the first thought is, oh, he's got a penalty having won at Newbury last time out. Well, that obviously a penalty is a penalty. But in his favour is A, that the penalty came for a race at Newbury, from which the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth have all won subsequently. This Skytastic successful at Newbury the other day. And the second big plus is that this horse is trained by Sam Thomas. And Sam Thomas is having a remarkable season. He's had 6 bumper winners this season. Of his 67 runners, he's based just outside Cardiff in South Wales, trains a lot of horses for Di Walters. And this is the same Sam Thomas as was once jockey of Denman. He's had 67 runners this season, and 45 of them have finished in the first 4. And he had a good bumper winner on Sunday at Newbury, won a listed bumper for the second time, a horse called Good Risk At All. And the horses that finished second, third, fourth, and fifth in that race on Sunday, when that horse defied a penalty, were all previous winners. I suspect Good Risk At All may well end up in the champion bumper at the Cheltenham Festival. Sam Thomas going strong. Skytastic, 5:05 Doncaster. And I saw that Sam Thomas Racing was a tiny bit critical of the lack of coverage that Good Risk At All had on television from Newbury on Sunday, for obvious reasons, probably because of so many other big names there. So, Nick, you and I have done our bit for the Sam Thomas bandwagon by giving that plenty of words around Skytastic.
Cornelius, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Just time to remind you that our partners at FitzDares are offering money back as a free bet if your horse is beaten by a length on day one of the festival, an offer exclusive to listeners of this podcast. Just go to FitzDares.com/luck. And while we're on the subject, congratulations to CEO of FitzDares, Will Woodhams, and his wife, Annabel, on the birth of their baby boy, Stanley. We will see you again tomorrow. But for the moment, that was Wednesday, February the 24th. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with FitzDares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.